Blog Talk Radio.
We thank you today for joining us here that we might deliver the message that will touch the lives of others. I pray in the name of Jesus, your anointing over every speaker tonight, that we might be bold and confident in proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father, tonight for the opportunity we have to be your ambassadors, to reconcile a dying world to you, Lord. Thank you tonight, Father, for everything that you've done for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen. Praise the Lord. We're just glad to be here again another day. Praise and worship God, because he loves us and he cares about us. Praise God. how gracious you are. We ought to be grateful to God in everything, even before we even ask Him for anything. We ought to thank Him for the things He's already given us. Praise God. Brother Shannon?
Yes. Well, I'm going to be in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 10. I'm going to minister tonight that there's, in the book of Hebrews, the word perfect is in there 9 times. So I want you to notice in each verse that I go over tonight, look for the word perfect. Apostle Paul, he wrote the book of Hebrews. And here he says in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 10, "For it became him," talking about our risen Lord Jesus Christ, "for whom are all things." Another word, he created all things. "And by whom are all things?" Because of Jesus, he's the creator. "In bringing many sons unto glory," that's through his finished work on the cross of Calvary, to make the captain salvation perfect through suffering. Jesus is the captain of our salvation. He said perfect. In other words, we have a perfect salvation because the blood of Jesus is perfect. Our Savior is perfect through suffering. Jesus, he suffered for us. Even in the Garden of Gethsemane, even when he was spit upon, even wearing the crown of thorns, when they plucked his beard, the cat of nine tails, when he carried the cross, and when his hands and feet was pierced and nailed to the cross, and his side was pierced, and when they mocked him. In other words, he knew what suffering was. And in Hebrews chapter 5, verse 9, it says, "And being made perfect," Jesus was perfect, "he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him." Not only is Jesus the captain of our salvation, but he's also the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. And we do obey him. We are willing and we are obedient. He said, "And being made perfect," that is Jesus, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. Everyone that comes to Jesus for salvation, for everyone that repents of their sins and calls upon Jesus and makes Jesus the Lord and Savior of their life. And in Hebrews chapter 7, verse 19, it says, "For the law made nothing perfect." In other words, in the book of Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, it made nothing perfect, but the bringing in of a better hope did, the new covenant, the new testament, by the which we draw nigh unto God. Christ is better than Aaron in the Old Testament. He makes perfect. He's of a higher order. Jesus is a priest after a higher law, an eternal priest, a priest of an all-powerful and more profitable covenant. Jesus is a priest of a better hope, according to Hebrews 7:19. He's a priest of a better way of approach to God. He's a priest by God's oath. He's a priest of a better covenant based upon better promises. He's unchangeable. Notice that. He never changes. He is unchangeable. He's able to save. He's an eternal intercessor. Jesus is holy. He's harmless. He's undefiled and separate from sinners. Jesus, he was exalted unto heaven. No more daily sacrifices. Jesus was that perfect sacrifice. He is an all-sufficient sacrifice. There was not an infirmity in him. He was the spotless Lamb of God. He was consecrated forever. He is the minister of the true and the heavenly temple. He is the minister's reality. Jesus is a more excellent ministry, according to Hebrews 8:6. And Jesus is the mediator of a better covenant based upon better promises. And the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 9, which was a figure for the time then present, in which were offered both gifts and sacrifices that could not make him that did the service perfect as pertaining to the conscience. In other words, when, in the Old Testament, when they brought an animal to be sacrificed, in other words, it only covered the sin. But Jesus was that perfect sacrifice. When he went to the cross, his blood did more than just cover. It did more than just atone. It blotted out our sins. And he removed our sins as far as the, from the west. And God took our sins and he cast them into the depths of the sea. And he don't remember our sins anymore. And in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 11 says, but Christ, being come an high priest of good things to come, by a greater, and notice this, and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building. In other words, Jesus, he is the perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building. The Bible said that Christ being come an high priest of good things to come. Jesus is our high priest. And the Bible also said he is touched with the feelings of our infirmity. Jesus, he knows what you're going through right now. He knows when your heart is broken. And Jesus, he comes to heal the broken heart. He knows the number of hairs that's on your head. He knows your down setting. He knows your uprising. He knows your thoughts. He knows everything about you. And Jesus loves you. The Bible says, while we were yet enemies, Christ died for us. And he says here in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 40, God, having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. Notice this, God provided something better, better than what the law had to offer, and that was his only begotten Son. On the cross of Calvary, he shed his redeeming, cleansing, all-powerful, living blood on the cross of Calvary for all mankind. He was that perfect sacrifice. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 23 says, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn. Now, that church of the firstborn was everyone from the Old Testament up until now that was in that church. You remember that the righteous, before the cross, they went to a place called paradise. And when Jesus was on the cross of Calvary, he told the one on the cross, he said, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Jesus, he went to the paradise part, and he brought them out of there, and he led captivity captive, and he gave gifts unto them. And he said, which are written in heaven, and to the God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men, made perfect. There's that word, perfect again. And in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 21, my last verse, he said, make you perfect in every good work to do his will. We, the only thing that is perfect is the blood of Jesus and Jesus our Savior. His blood is perfect in every good work so we could do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight. That is why we've been given the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit in us leads us and guides us in line with the Word of God. He said, through Jesus Christ, everything we do, we should do it because of Jesus Christ and to bring glory and honor and praise to the name of Jesus, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Well, you've heard the gospel, and it's about a perfect Savior called Jesus. Well, I'm done, and I'm going to turn it back over to my brother.
Thank you, brother. Appreciate that. That was wonderful. Amen. We serve a perfect
afternoon to everyone.
Amen. God bless you.
Yes, thank you. It is indeed, like I said, today has been a great day, a wonderful day. I had a choice about what I've done all day today. And praise God that He let me come to a place where I choose to search and worship Him. It makes life so much better when we follow after Jesus and when we want the things that He wants and hate the things that He wants. Life gets so much better and we find peace and joy in whatever we do. And tonight I want to, this is St. John chapter 5, I believe. A man healed at the pool of Bethesda. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now, there is in Jerusalem, by the steep gate, sheep gate, which is called in Hebrew Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of sick people, blind, lame, paralyzed, waiting for the moving of the water. An angel went down at a certain time in the pool and stirred up the water. And whosoever stepped in first after the stirring of the water was made well, whatever disease he had. Now, a certain man was there who had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him laying there and knew that he had already been in that condition a long time, He said to him, "Do you want to be made well?" The sick man answered, said, "Sir, I have no man to put me in the pool when the water is stirred up. But while I am coming, another steps down before me." And Jesus said unto him, "Rise up, take your bed and walk." And immediately the man was made well. "Take up your bed and walk." And that day was the Sabbath day. The Jews therefore said to him who was cured, "It is the Sabbath. It is not lawful for you to carry your bed." In other words, now you're going to have to take responsibility for your life, your own life. You're going to have to Take responsibility for your learning and your knowledge and being honest before God. You have to do that yourself. You can't take some of what somebody else knows. You can't go by what they say or what they accuse you of. You have to take up your own responsibilities. And one thing about it, every one of us are faced with a situation or a condition every day that we know there's nothing we can do about it. But one thing, Jesus can set us free. The man had lain there all those years, but he knew Jesus could set him free. And you can't depend on nobody else. You have to do it for yourself. You have to want it bad enough to do what you can about it yourself. Then they ask him, who is the man who said to you, take up your bed and walk? But the one who was healed did not know who it was, for Jesus had withdrawn a multitude being in that place. Afterward, Jesus found him in the temple and said to him, see, you have been made well. Sin no more, lest the worst thing come upon you. The man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus who had made him well. For this reason, the Jews persecuted Jesus and sought to kill him because he had done these things on the Sabbath. But Jesus answered him, my Father has been working until now, and I have been working. Therefore, the Jews sought all the more to kill him because he not only broke the Sabbath, but also said that God was his Father, making him equal with God. Then Jesus answered and said unto them, most assuredly I say to you that the Son can do nothing, I tell you, nothing of himself, but what he sees the Father do. For whatsoever he does, the Son also does like manner. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all things that he himself does. And he will show him greater works than these, that ye may marvel. For as the Father raises the dead and gives life to them, even so the Son gives life to whom he will. Father, the Father judges no one, but he commits all judgments to the Son, that all should honor the Son just as they honor the Father. Who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. Life and judgment are through the Son. There's no other way to be delivered other than through Jesus Christ. We can't deliver ourselves. We have to be willing to be honest and to recognize that it's a spiritual thing and it's not a worldly thing. The Spirit of God is not a worldly thing. And it's not, this world's going to pass away, but the word of God is not. Most assuredly I say unto you, he who hears my words and believe in him who sent me has everlasting life and shall not come unto judgment, but has passed from death into life. Most assuredly I say to you, the hour is coming and now is when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God. And those who hear will live. For as the Son has life in himself, so he has granted the Son to have life in himself and has given him authority to execute judgment also because he is the Son of Man. Do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming in which all who are in the graves will hear his voice and come forth. Those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation. I can of myself do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is righteous because I do not seek my own, but the will of the Father who sent me. And I foretold witness, and it says 31. If I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. There is another who bears witness of me, and I know that the witness which he beareth of me is true. You have sent to John, and he has borne witness to the truth. Yet I do not receive testimony from men, but I say these things that you may be saved. He was the burning and the shining lamp, and you were willing for a time to rejoice in his light. But I have a greater witness than John's, for the work which the Father has given me to finish is the very works that I do. Bear witness of me, for the Father has sent me, and the Father himself who sent me has testified of me. You have neither heard his voice at any time, nor seen his form, but you do not have his word abiding in you, because whom he sends, him do. Okay, I'm sorry, 38. But you do not have his word abiding in you, because whom he sent, him you do not believe. You search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. And these are they which testify of me, but you are not willing to come to me for that you may have life. In other words, the scriptures, when you come to Jesus, you come to the scriptures. But it's not the scriptures that's going to save you, it is Jesus. I do not receive honor from men, but I know you, that you do not have the love of God in you. I have come in my Father's name, and you do not receive me. If another comes in his own name, him you would receive. How can you believe who receives honor from one another and do not seek the honor that comes from the only God? Do not think that I should accuse you of the Father. There is one who accuses you, Moses, in whom you trust. If you believe Moses, you would believe me, for he wrote about me. But if you do not believe his writings, how will you believe my words? In other words, if you don't believe the gospel, you're not going to believe what nobody says. There's no power in anything except the word of God. And the power is in Jesus. Jesus is the one with the power. He's the one who died. He's the one who loved us enough to come and shed his blood for us to wash away our sins. Nobody else. And, you know, we can't save ourselves. So there's no need of being all this righteous. We are not righteous. We are filthy rags. But we are people who were lost, but we're no longer in the dark. We're in the light. And that's what we want to tell people about, which is the light of the world, which is Jesus. We want you to see that light and learn about salvation, which means healing and peace and joy and long-suffering, the fruits of God's Spirit. This is something that's inside you, not on the outside. It has to be on the inside. And once you get a little vision of the light and a little vision of the joy of the Lord, then you're searching for more and more and more all the rest of your life. You cannot do it without Jesus. It's impossible. And Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you today for your word. We thank you for doing what you said you would do. We thanks for salvation and healing and joy, Lord God. Thank you, Lord, for keeping us apt to pray and to be honest with ourselves and to want to learn, Lord, every day more and more about you, to love our neighbors and everyone, Lord God, and to teach our young people and people who do not know about Jesus, they should see some portion of Jesus in us. Lord, in your name we come and we thank you today. Amen.
Praise God. Thank you for that message. It was powerful. Amen. He is a powerful God. Thank you, Lord, for your word. It is the word of God. We'll be right back. news, isn't it, ladies? My Redeemer lives. Not somebody else's Redeemer, but my Redeemer lives. In other words, you've got to know yourself that your Redeemer lives. Jesus is our Redeemer. Praise God. We have Tierra Williams on with us tonight from Washington. You have words?
Hello. Hello, all. God bless.
Take your time.
I'm going to be reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 2. It says, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God." And it says in Psalms 8:2, "Faith and strength from the mouth of infants and nursing babes, that thou hast established strength because of thine adversaries to make the enemy and thy revengeful cease." It says right here in 2, verse 2, "For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling, and my speech and in my preaching was not with you, was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and power." But in the demonstration and power. So what I got out of that, what is the beginning of wisdom? Knowledge. What's the beginning of knowledge? The fearing of the Lord. And with knowledge and fear and understanding comes praise. And praise makes worthwhile celebration of the Lord's goodness and grace. This is simply implies that the act of praising is rightfully due to God alone. Amen. So it says right here in 4, "And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of men's wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and of the power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Howbeit, we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world, that come to know. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of the world knew. For if they had known it, they would have not crucified the Lord of glory." And it says right here in, sorry, please bear with me. It says that in Romans 11, "As surely as I like," "surely as I live," says the Lord, "every knee shall bow in it before me, and every tongue will confess that the Lord is Lord." And it says, "But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew. For if they had known it, they would have not crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, I have not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God." So it says right here, "Be strong and courageous," Deuteronomy 31:6. "Be strong and courageous. Do not fear or be in dread of them. For it is the Lord your God who goes with you, and he will not leave you or forsake you." It says right here in verse 12, "Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given unto us, which the things also we speak not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned." In Romans 3, it talks about them being ignorant to the righteousness of God. So they don't understand it because they're spiritually discerned. "But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judge of no man." And it talks about in Colossians 22, and the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. And if you go down to 23, it says, but if you continue in the faith, ground and stilled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which you have heard, and which is under the heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. So if you keep on going to chapter 16, it says, for who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Thank you.
Amen. Praise God, you got fired up there. Thank God for you ladies and gentlemen ministry. I want to look at something right here in John, the 8th chapter. Jesus went to the Mount of Olives, and early in the morning he came again into the temple, and all the people came to him, down, and talked to him. And the scribes and Pharisees brought to him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they say to him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commands us that such should be stoned. But what say you? This they said, tempting him, that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground. He heard them not. So when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said to them, he that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. Wow. Just think about that. Something was wrong with this picture. When you read it, caught her in the very act of adultery. Well, if they caught her in the very act of adultery, the law says they both shall be stoned. So why did they just bring the woman? So they were off. They was off the law themselves. But they wanted to accuse Jesus. They wanted to see what he would do. But he stooped down and he wrote on the ground after telling them, if you're without sin, I will you to cast the first stone. And they just start leaving. They just start leaving because they could not cast stones at her. They couldn't cast stones because their conscience was bad. They had bad motives even coming to Jesus. Sometimes people do that to us. They come to us and want us to talk about somebody else, put somebody else down. But if you don't have any problem, you talk about it. But if you got problems, why don't you just pray for them? Why don't we just lift them up to the Lord Jesus Christ? And also lift yourself up. When Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, he said to her, woman, where were those your accusers? Has no man condemned you? She said, no man, Lord. And Jesus said to her, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. He didn't come to condemn us. He came to make us better. He wasn't going to condemn her, but he was going to help her and say, go and sin no more. Sin destroys us. It don't make us better. It destroys us.
It takes away who we are. We are children of the Most High God. God is our Father. He made us to be like Him. He made us in His image. He made us in His likeness so we could operate on earth like Him. So the fig tree is not going to heaven, but the fig tree is bringing heaven to earth. Jesus said, let thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And he also said, the kingdom of God is on the inside of you. And he also says that you are the temples of God. The Holy Spirit indwells you. So guess what? We ought to bring God to earth. These guys was trying to trap Jesus. There's always somebody trying to trap you. Anytime you start growing in the things of God, there will be people coming up trying to trap you, trying to make a fool out of you. But usually when they come up to me and want to know things, I would tell them, listen to the Spirit. What does the Spirit say to you? And 9 times out of 10, they don't listen to the Spirit. Because if they did, they wouldn't have to come to me for answers. So I pray that we understand that we're not here to condemn anybody, but we're here to help them. There's always going to be, as much as we grow, the more Satan is going to try to come after us. I was telling you that here today. The more you grow, Satan will come after you. If you're not growing, he's not going to come after you because you're not a threat. If you're not going to reach out to other people and see them born again or see them victorious as young Christians, well, he's not going to bother you. But when you get on fire for the Lord, I want all of your knowledge. I want all of your wisdom. I want all of your understanding. I want to be fruitful in every good work. Well, the devil is going to come after you, just like these demonic people who were supposed to be the church was coming after Jesus, who is the head of the church, who is God in human flesh, and they didn't know him. You know, just maybe they were trying to ridicule him because he was born of a virgin. And they didn't believe that he was born of a virgin. They believed his mother committed adultery. That might have been a reason for them to come at him. Because I'm sure Jesus told them that he was born of a virgin because he don't lie. He says he came from heaven. The Father sent him. So they were trying to trap him. But you can't trap God. Just preach the word. That's what I tell young preachers. Just preach the truth. That's all. Don't try to explain it. Just preach the truth. Don't argue with dead folks. Just preach the truth. That's all you have to do. It's kind of like the mailman. His job is to put the mail in the mailbox. He has no right to tell you whether it's junk mail or good mail. His job is to put the mail in the mailbox. That's all. That's all you do. You preach the gospel. You preach the word that God gives you. It's kind of like the message you had, Tiara. In other words, Paul said, I didn't come with enticing words to impress anybody. I just wanted to know Jesus had him crucified. Such a simple message in the church, and we've messed it up. have messed it up with all of our programs and all of our, it's kind of like window dressing. We've got all this stuff on it. We got all this stuff on. We got to have a church membership now. You don't have to have a church membership. The Bible says don't forget the assembling of yourselves together. That has nothing to do with a church membership. You can assemble in your house. That's what the early church assembled. You can assemble at the restaurant. You can assemble in the marketplace. It has nothing to do with going to church. It has to do with being the church. We ought to be able to fellowship with all of our brothers and sisters. We need to take the labels off. There's no Baptist. There's no Methodist, Pentecostal, the Presbyterian. None of those names that we have. It's just Jesus. In Ephesians, the 4th chapter, it says, until we all come in the unity of the faith, one faith, and that's in God the Father, through Jesus Christ, by the Holy Spirit, the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God. We need to study who Jesus is so we can imitate him on planet Earth. Because that's the life we need to imitate. And it says, unto a perfect man, to the measurement of the stature of the fullness of Christ. I'm going toward the fullness of Christ. I want to be like Amen. I want to be like Jesus. And that message you just read, we have the mind of Christ. We have the mind of Christ. There's a man get healed, and people are upset because the guy got healed. You know, one instance, this guy was blind all of his life. Jesus healed him. And my God, they threw him out of the church. Going out of the church because he got healed. Because it didn't go through them. It came through God. That's what has happened in our churches. We don't recognize the move of God unless it comes through our church. Unless it comes through our denomination. I want you to know that God is bigger than your denomination. He's bigger than your church on the corner. He's bigger than your mega church. He's bigger than anything that you have set together. Jesus told the disciples when Peter said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus said, "Flesh and blood has not revealed this unto you, but my Father which is in heaven. And upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." It was a revealed truth that could only come from God. I can tell you what this stuff we're talking about, it just causes us to divide, causes us to hate each other. And we know hate is not of God. If you hate your brother, you are a murderer, and no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. We've allowed demon spirits to infiltrate the church and bring their messages in there and bring their attitudes in there. We need to praise God. We need to worship God. We need to preach the word of God and run those demons out of there. They're not comfortable when the word of God is being taught. They're not comfortable when we're praising and worshiping God. They're not comfortable when we have prayer meetings. They're only comfortable when they're being entertained. God wants you to preach the word of God, ladies. God wants you to preach the word of God. Even if people get upset at you, preach Jesus Christ. Preach the good news of Jesus Christ. Let the world know that you serve a risen Savior. You serve a risen Savior, and he's in the world today inside of you, in the person of the Holy Spirit. Don't back up. Don't back up from preaching the Word of God. Somebody might get upset. But he says, hey, you come after me, you got to deny your mother and father, sisters and brothers. You got to deny everybody. Everybody. Everybody is an enemy that don't believe in Jesus Christ. Everybody is an enemy that stops you from growing in the things of God. It is not the flesh you're fighting. It's the demon influences. These guys didn't care about that woman. They didn't care about her. They used her to try to trap Jesus and didn't bring the man, because they said they caught her in the very act of adultery. Where was the man? It was probably one of them, huh? It was probably one of them involved with her. So they decided to leave him out of it. My God, it's kind of like when Judah, he went and had sex with his daughter-in-law. He thought she was a prostitute. And then when he found out it was his daughter-in-law, he wanted to have her stoned. And he was the one who impregnated her. And she showed him his staff in all of those days. Says, I'm pregnant by the man who owns these. It was him. It's amazing how we twist the law to fit us. But I pray today that whoever's listening to me, God is not out to condemn you. He's out to save you from yourself. He's out to save you from sin, because sin degrades you. You were made in the image and likeness of God. It brings you down to nothing. And God wants to lift you up. Lift you up on high and give you the victory. Father, I pray tonight that the words that we've spoken tonight will manifest, Father, that the world will see and hear and touch and taste how good your word is. And I pray, Lord, over the church, Father. I come against the demon spirits inside those churches that's drawing lines and building walls that separates the body of Christ. I come against those demons right now by the authority of Jesus Christ. Take your hands off of the sons and daughters of God. I command you. I bind you right now. I tie you up so the saints of God can be released in the name of Jesus. Father, we love you. We glorify you. And I pray that you'll continue to touch our minds and our hearts, that we'll just be sold out to preaching your word. All we want to preach is Jesus Christ and him crucified, resurrected from the dead, ascended up on high, standing at the right hand of the Father, getting ready to come back and get his church. I know he lives because he lives inside of me. So you don't have to worry about God lives. You just let him live inside of you and let him know he lives because he lives inside of you. Praise God. We just thank God for all of those that were here. I praise God for those who are listening tonight and those who will listen in the archives. I want you to know, I want you to be victorious. I want you to be better. I care about you. I don't want you to fall by the wayside. If you're a Christian, a young Christian, I want you to grow. Because if you don't grow, Satan will prostitute you. He will have you doing all kinds of little stuff around the church and never be in the church. I pray that God will send someone to mentor you by the authority of Jesus Christ. I love you, Father. Thank you for this night of blessings. Ladies, I thank y'all for being here tonight. I thank y'all for the messages. I thank Shannon for the message. We've got to preach Jesus. Now, before we go, we need to pray for a man named Victor. He's got Parkinson's disease. Let's pray for him. God can hear all of us at the same time. Let's praise and worship God for his healing over him. And anybody else, that, let's do that, ladies. We got time. Let's take time. Father, we just thank you
for
your healing. Like,
personally,
we just thank you,
thank
Lord,
you,
that healing Victor right
thank
now.
Thank you, Father God.
You're taking that Parkinson's disease and you are destroying it right now by
you'll
the authority of Jesus. By the stripes
you'll
of Jesus.
Love in Jesus' name.
Our,
thank you, Father God.
By so
the
great.
Stripes of Jesus.
God, we magnify you, Lord Jesus.
For the healing right now in the name of Jesus, we praise
you. Thank you, Father.
Thank you,
Father.
Thank
the
you,
Lord
Jesus.
We give you the praise.
So Lord God.
And thank
you.
That healing, Lord, I
do.
Receive them right now. In the name of Jesus Christ.
Lord Jesus.
Glorify you. Magnify you, Lord.
Thank you, Father God. Glorify you.
Thank you, my God.
That if we ask anything according to your will, you hear us. And
thank
we know
you,
of you, we have the petition we've asked. And we just got to read the word,
we
Father.
Are free in Jesus' name, Father.
Your word heals. Oh, God, thank you, Lord.
Thank
you. Amen.
Amen.
We just believe that
Amen.
We agree with y'all that healing is going to take place throughout
yes.
on you. Whether it's in Africa, whether it's in India, Russia, wherever we go, all around the world, we believe that. Because the words we
Amen.
Preach tonight, we're not operating in man's wisdom, we're operating in God's wisdom. The man who got healed that you was talking about, Sister Mary, guess what? If he could get healed, everybody we are praying for could get healed.
Amen.
Praise God. I believe that, ladies. God bless you. May God keep you. And I'll see you next Monday. If the Lord said the same, we might be in heaven. How we know? When things are going, it looks like we might be in heaven by tomorrow.
Amen.
For heaven, I'll stay here. We have the Lord inside of us. So no matter where we go, please, God, Jesus. That's all that matters, right?
Yeah.
I'll take
the mansion on in heaven
itself.
But God bless y'all, ladies. And thank y'all for being a part of this program tonight. We'll see you on Monday. God bless you.
Yeah.
God bless.
We love you.
Love you.
Love you all.